Hey everyone, this is Adam. This message is for any teachers, principals, or administrators within the school. Don't know if you know, but a couple years ago, we launched our Lead 'Em Up Classroom program, an in-school curriculum designed to be used by teachers for their students to develop them into the leaders needed to win. Obviously, originating in athletics, we didn't jump right in and make it available for all. We did a three-year pilot to make sure we got it right. And man, these past 3 years have been fantastic. The feedback has been incredible. The students have been growing and the teachers have been raving about this program. So this year we are excited to make it available for all. If you are a teacher, a principal, if you work within a school and you would love a fresh curriculum that is able to engage and excite students and improve them, engage their character to be elevated, developing them as a leader, the Lead 'Em Up Classroom Curriculum is perfect for you. Go online, leademup.com, and check out our schools tab and read all about the classroom program that is transforming schools around the country. We would love to have you be part of our classroom community. Go check it out. Now, let's jump in to today's episode.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam Bradley of Lead 'Em Up alongside Kyle Elmendorf, our Southeast Regional Coach. And Kyle, today's going to be a different episode because here in a moment, we're going to kind of flip roles in some regard. And you're going to interview me in many ways for today's episode. And as we were game planning some of the upcoming topics we wanted to discuss, this one was very interesting because as many people know that have been following the Lead 'Em Up journey, a little less than a year and a half ago, made the decision to leave my full-time career and pursue Lead 'Em Up full-time. And over these last 18 months or so, Kyle, I got to be honest, this is one of the questions I get so often now, just from people talking like, hey, sure, you know, I heard about the, you know, you making the jump. How's it going, man? How were you able to do it? Were you scared? Was it hard to do?
Absolutely.
Are you happy with how everything's going? And I really think this journey of transitioning careers, there are so many people out there that have a full-time job and maybe they have a passion play on the side or a side hustle or something they do that they would love to do. And maybe many people are in the process of trying to figure out, how do I transition careers? How do I make it work financially? How do I make that jump? And I didn't have a lot of great advice. There weren't like sources that I was going to when I was trying to figure it out, but I've certainly learned a lot and obviously have experienced it and have come out on the other side and very happy with where I'm at and how things are going. And we've felt like it could be a good story to tell, because I think there's some things that I've learned over this time that I would love to share. And if anyone's going through this, I hope this episode can give you some clarity, can give you some insight, maybe some confidence that if you're trying to make a jump professionally, maybe to get out of here and go over here, but you know it's going to be a sacrifice on the revenue financial side, or how do you make that work, that this episode could be an encouragement to you.
Yeah, I'm excited to dig in and see what you have to offer here, because there's a lot of valuable insights, I think, that will be shared for anyone, no matter what career field they're in, whether they're currently looking at it or could be something down the road for them. So I think the first one, Adam, that is really applicable to anyone out there is, with making a move like this, there's bound to be at some point doubts or uncertainties that maybe pop up during that decision-making process. So how did you navigate those doubts or uncertainties that maybe first came up for you?
I mean, it was so present. It was so prevalent the entire time. You know, just from a context standpoint, we started Lead 'Em Up in 2015. And the entire time, I was also serving as the VP of sales for an organization in Baltimore in a completely different industry than leadership and public speaking and such. It was a service-based, supply-based distribution environment where I had a great career, man. You know, great money, sure, great income, 401k, benefits, all that, right? And the family was on my benefits. And so, but obviously for, I mean, at that point, it was 6.5, almost 7 years where I was managing both.
Yeah.
There were many times I'd say, oh, you know, I would love to do Lead 'Em Up full time, but I just didn't think I could do it. You know, I didn't think I could make it happen. I didn't know how it could all line up and work financially. I didn't know how I could make that stepping back, because there is a transition of stepping back financially. Initially, I learned later that that isn't necessarily the case. But at the time, I mean, so Kyle, for years, I'd say a good, if 2015 is when we launched, I would probably say 2018 is when I began to really think, man, this is something I could do full time and would love to do full time. I think early on, those first couple of years, it was just too small that it wasn't even a reality there. But I'd say for the last 3 years, it was front of mind. I was thinking like, man, could I do it? But tremendous doubt, tremendous fear. I just wasn't confident I could do it, that I could make it work. I just wasn't in a position. I just couldn't do it.
I remember those conversations, you know, you and I would have on the phone, kind of casting the vision and talk about how cool it would be to do that. And then obviously that's been one of the cool things to see that kind of come to fruition here. Was there any moment or was there any time period that when you look back on it now that you're like, this was one of the things that really allowed me to overcome the doubt and uncertainty that get you on the other side of that?
Yeah. You know, I don't think it happened overnight. There was never a pressing moment.
Yeah.
There was a intentional plan at a certain point, I would say probably a few months after COVID, where COVID started, we'll say 2020, March 2020. Mm-hmm. I would say towards the end of probably midway through 2020, when I really, or probably 2020, sometime around that year, I don't know the exact time, where I said, I'm ready to start making this a reality and started putting a plan in place to bring this to life. Kyle, there are so many people that say, just do it. You just got to make the jump. You just got to make the jump. You just got to do it. And I had a handful of different friends and entrepreneurs that I lean on that say, Adam, you just got to do it. Believe in yourself. All these little phrases. Screw that. Screw that.
Easier said than done, right?
Easier said than done. And the truth is, it's actually bad advice because it simplifies what is otherwise a very nuanced situation.
That's a good
there
point.
There are dynamics. There are a lot of things to take into consideration. So when someone says, just do it, you just got to jump in. That's actually foolish. It's foolish.
That's a great
point. And had I followed that advice over the years, I would have done it and not been in a good place. We would not have been in a good place with the family, with my family. I would not have been in a good place with my stress and anxiety, because there is certainly that present. No, it actually needs to be advice that is shared that says this. Start putting yourself in the position and then do it. And then you begin building out the definition of what does it mean to put myself in position? So it was interesting around 2020, we made some decisions as a family, just really position ourselves in a much better financial position. You know, my brother in 2018, 2019 had been going through the Dave Ramsey program. And I'm more than happy to be very detailed and share specifics and numbers and things like that. Cause I think we don't ever get real with the numbers. Well, how'd you actually make it work? What was your health insurance plan, right? Like, we need tangible, helpful tips here. 2018-ish, my brother jumped in, started using the Dave Ramsey program. If you're not familiar, it's a program to kind of get out of debt, financial peace program, savings program, just really to help your finances get in a healthier place, essentially. He started going into this Dave Ramsey program and he had so much success, man. He was all in on this program, all in. And I'd heard of Dave Ramsey, but wasn't super familiar. I mean, my brother was so all in on Dave Ramsey. At Thanksgiving each year, we always go around the table and let everyone say what they're thankful for. 2019 right. Thanksgiving, when it was his turn, he said, I'm thankful for Dave Ramsey. Okay. That's how all in he was. But nonetheless, he was positioning himself in a great way. He had paid off all his cars. He had paid off his student loans, and he just was in a great, great spot, right? When we talk about getting out of debt, people think that's always like, there's like a stigma there. But I mean, the reality is everyone has it, right? You got a low credit card, you know, you got some car loans, you got some student loans. And, you know, Dave Ramsey says everything that is minus equity increasing or revenue increasing. So like your home, yeah. He doesn't view it as traditional debt because you're actually making money per se on the home as it's building equity. But credit cards, if you've got a Best Buy card, student loan, you know, things of that nature, he views it as debt. And for seeing my brother go through it, that really triggered a lot for me. So in around February 2020, I remember my wife and I, we went to a conference. It was a financial peace conference held by Dave Ramsey. And whether it's Dave Ramsey or someone else, whoever you'd have to go to, it was so key because we made a decision in February 2020 that, man, let's get our finances right. And we were certainly not in a bad position, but we had some overhead, right? We had some overhead. And over the next 8 months, we were all in. And following the program, you get very disciplined. And we paid off $48,000 in debt.
How many months?
It was like 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
We paid off the rest of our student loans. We paid off both of our cars, you know, got all that situated. I think we had like one or two other little kind of bills and all that, paid it all off. And it opened up at the time, I believe it opened up around $1,500 to $1,800 a month by paying all those bills off.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
That's a good amount, absolutely. Right? And then not only that, you really spend this time really going through all your bills. And I remember we changed our Verizon, went to Xfinity Mobile. I think that saved us $100 a month or $90 a month. We changed our cable plan. That saved about $50 a month. We went down and kind of did something else. I think we changed our car insurances. And we examined everything because that's part of the plan. Examine everything. Let's reduce all your monthly income as low as possible and keep yourself. And I think at the end of it, we ended up opening up like $2,000 a month. Right now, yeah, all of a sudden,
a substantial amount.
Yeah. So, man, that year of 2020, and it is ironic that year of 2020 that we went all that actually, right? What proved to be my last year in my full time work actually was one of our best years ever in my full time work because of COVID. Because of the supplies that we offered were actually in line with what people needed during COVID, it actually allowed for us to have a great year. So, there was this combination of we needed to position ourselves just financially as a family. Get in a really good place where we could open up some monthly margin. At the same time, had a great year there where we were very diligent and set aside some money. So we had a little bit of a bigger kind of runway of sorts. Sure. That year was really kind of cementing and positioning us saying, "All right, this is starting to become more realistic." To the point where the confidence was building, right? And then everything changed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a great takeaway for anyone, you know, essentially, whether you're making a career change or not, but the idea of really examining everything, because just as life happens, sometimes we forget maybe how much we're paying on a cable bill or a phone bill and going back and just kind of taking a look at that and then realizing you might be able to save a little bit here or there and then apply it elsewhere is a really good exercise. So that's a great advice. What else besides maybe, you know, the Ramsey program where you were able to kind of, you know, obviously eliminate quite a bit of debt in a short amount of time, what other maybe mentorship type programs, was there anybody in particular that really helped you along when you started to gain momentum towards transitioning the careers here? Was there anyone that was really helpful or any other pieces of advice that you would want to pass along?
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly, I'd say maybe half a dozen, 6 to 8 people that really would ask a lot of questions. Hey, what do you think about this? You know, hey, I'm in this process right now and trying to make it work. And, you know, a lot of people just keep, you know, hey, you got this. A lot of just general encouragement was the majority. You know, as it relates to tangible advice, I remember my neighbor at the time, a guy named Adam Beasley, he gave me a great piece of advice that I actually implemented, which was really, really helpful. So as I started positioning ourselves, one thing we needed to also position during this time was we needed to lead them up to begin to have multiple streams of revenue. Mm-hmm. So early on when we first started Lead 'Em Up, we had our coaches membership online, and that was really all we did.
Yeah.
I knew like to get to the place of full-time status, Lead 'Em Up, we needed more ways for Lead 'Em Up to generate revenue, live training, education, i.e. the classroom program, maybe a little bit of corporate work, right? Our coaches membership. So that's also part of that. Hey, just do it. Jump in. No, like that's such a.
Got to have a plan in place.
Got to have your plan in place. So like when someone says that, like, have you seen my finances? Have you seen my books at home? Right. Do you know if I'm even in a good place to jump in? Because if you tell me to jump in, that could be the worst advice ever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we had to do an evaluation of where we were as a family financially. And then we had to do an evaluation of where the business was and what the potential was. We needed more revenue streams. That's that 2019, 2020. We started building out classroom. We started building out more corporate. We started doing more live training and our coaches membership. So now we had multiple ways for us to generate revenue. So making it more realistic once again. One piece of advice, I got to the point where we had positioned Lead 'Em Up in a place where I was like, all right, I think, man, I can see this happening now. I can see the potential to really generate the revenue to make up the loss of my full time. I also have built up enough savings that I think I could tap into if I needed to for a short period of time while I ramped it up. Also, we lowered our monthly threshold of our bills by $2,000. Now I don't even need to hover as much each month in what I make because we've lowered it, right? So All of this is building confidence. So it wasn't like an overnight thing. It was all basically, I'd say probably an 18-month really intentional focus of like getting everything in a great place. And I started planning that April of 2021 was the month that I was going to jump. And we'd been talking about it internally. We Lead 'Em Up. We'd all been discussing it. Hey, this was going to be the time. My buddy Adam, one of my neighbors, who he's an entrepreneur, has owned a couple businesses. He said, Adam, here's what I suggest you to do. It'll make you feel better with the transition. Starting January 1st, put aside, because at that point I was going to have 3 more months of revenue from my full-time work. So I was going to work through the end of March. Yeah. Put all that money that you get from your full-time work into the bank. Don't even touch it. Pretend it's not even there. Once it comes in, change your direct deposit so it goes into a different account. Literally act as if it's not there. And starting in January, start living off your quote-unquote new salary of Lead 'Em Up, period.
Yeah.
Do it. And man, that was such a good piece of advice because for January, February, March of 2021, I worked and lived off of Lead 'Em Up income only. I began to feel and kind of experience what it was going to look like and feel like not to have that safety net of my salary, of my other job, kind of sitting there supporting me.
Yeah, you're living it out.
And I did that. So January, February, March, I lived it out. And you begin to kind of feel like, what does your account look like with that money, not that other money being deposited in? You begin to feel that. It begins to let you say, okay, do I need to push harder? How hard am I going? Am I generating enough revenue to cover? It begins to bring everything to life. And it became so real. But it was done in a nice kind of transition way that when April hit, once again, I was so confident. That was probably the biggest thing is, had I followed my heart at times, just follow your gut, go for it, right? All those times people say, just do it over the years and all that. Oh my gosh. The amount of anxiety I would have had would have been so high. It would have been really, really difficult. When I really left in April, oh man, I had complete peace. I was ready. I was in a good spot. There wasn't much anxiety.
Yeah. And I think that's the great takeaway right there is the peace that you're able to have because of the decisions that went in prior to that. So I'm curious, as far as like lifestyle or priorities, did you have to adjust anything? We talked about the financials, but maybe lifestyle or any other priorities, did they have to shift or how did you maneuver those as you pursued the new career?
So during the Dave Ramsey program, major shifts, because when you get into the program of Ramsey, he tells you like things have to change. Like you go all in. He has this whole snowball method.
Yeah.
Paying off debt. And during the Dave Ramsey program, while we were going through the baby steps up until to get out of debt, things did change. We weren't going out to eat as much. It actually worked out well because COVID didn't allow us to go many places. So we weren't traveling. We weren't spending money at birthday parties and things like that. So it actually coincided to be easier versus like if everything was open, you feel like we're missing out on things because we're not doing as much.
For sure. For sure.
So things changed during that period. But once we kind of got past that, it hasn't really changed. And, you know, as we were kind of going, you know, I think part of the piece that was experienced for me was like, I really felt like God was kind of, he wanted this to happen. So things were coming, opportunities were presenting themselves. As many of you know, I got hired to teach as a contractor at Towson in kind of conjunction with our Lead 'Em Up work. That played a big role. And, you know, I'm sitting here in a situation now where we are officially 14, 15 months since I made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I actually think I'm trending to actually do better. True story, with where we are now, than I was when I had my full-time work.
Yeah, that's incredible. But yeah, I think that's a testament to like the diligence that you've approached everything with, where it wasn't just like I'm going to jump and hopefully land somewhere good. We're going to plan for it and make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be strategic. So I think anytime someone's sitting down trying to make this decision, if anyone were to ask me like, hey, I'm thinking about it, I'd say, let's sit down. If they wanted me to actually work with them or, you know, kind of walk them through. Otherwise I just give them this advice, sit down and start strategically looking at two sides of the spectrum. Start looking at your internal side and start looking at your business side. So internal family, where are you at? What can you adjust? How can you set yourself up? Create that foundation that's a little bit lighter of a load to manage from a financial standpoint. And then start looking at the business side and make sure it's in a position that if I did go full-time, do I even have enough work to go full-time? Do I have enough areas to grow within the full-time realm? Okay. You know, to allow me to go. And that was a lot of the strategy there. You know, I think we even talked internally, we'll lead them up. Like if I went full-time, where could we hit? How could we get to the numbers we needed to hit? All right, we could do it in, you know, X amount in the classroom, X amount in your live training, X amount in our coaches membership. So it all of a sudden, like, all right, I would need to make this means lead them up would need to generate this. Can we get to those numbers within lead them up? How do we do that? Okay, we do them in these three or four buckets. Okay, that's doable. Yeah, that's doable. Yeah, we could hit that number. Okay, and if we hit all those numbers, I'll be here with the lighter financial load of eliminating $2,000 a month of bills. Oh, we got this. We got this. And then all of a sudden, you're now like, let's go.
Yeah.
I couldn't have said that, even though I wanted it for all those years. I was never in that position. But boy, man, end of 21, into 2020, into 2022, those were the conversations. And I think in many ways, it needs to kind of get to that place before you make the jump. And I'm a conservative risk taker also. Like, let's also keep that in mind.
Right,
I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 years old. I've got a wife, two kids, a mortgage. That changes it too. Because if I'm 25, right, with a small little, you know, I'm renting an apartment with a couple friends and I've got minimal overhead.
Right.
Totally different conversation.
Less responsibility there.
Totally different. But in this situation, you got to be really strategic and you can get to the place where when others say, hey, man, just jump in, you can get to that place, but you have to work to get to that place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, this is Kevin Williams from Chick-fil-A and author of Irrational Kindness. And this is today's leadership nugget. I love the question that has been asked, how do you know when someone needs encouragement? Followed by the answer, when they are breathing. That's right, we all need encouragement. We begin to see coworkers as where they are going instead of where they are today. And that encouragement and understanding, maybe that is the win they need to get their sales going. We begin to see customers not as transactions, but as a person that needs a lift up. And our smile can be just that. We all can pour into others, not as know-it-alls, just as intentional time spent caring and sharing with someone that needs a lift up. Now, let's get back to the episode.
We've talked a lot about the success that you've seen in there. Was there anything that you can share that might have been a setback that you encountered, or something that you might look at and say, I would have done this differently during the career transition?
You know, I can look back and say with relative confidence that I don't know if I would change much. And I think it's and I think it's because the level of intentionality, thoughtfulness, and strategy that went into it, because of all the fear and uncertainty, that I didn't really do anything blindly. I didn't really do anything without a plan because I was nervous. So yeah. I was really, really careful. And because of that, I honestly think it worked out well. You know, like my transition out of my full-time was better than ever. Remember, I had plans to actually pitch them on like partnering with us, yeah, my old company. And some of that came to fruition, right? And I left on great terms. I never let my full-time work ever get sacrificed because of my work here with Lead 'Em Up. I always made that the priority because it was for all those years. And they never saw a dip in performance with me. I was able to win president's clubs and things like that. I was always very conscious, actually. I had an insecurity. I think I've shared before.
Yeah.
That insecurity of, I never wanted my full-time to ever think I was not giving them enough. Because I never wanted to bring my other work to become a distraction where it became a talking point. Mm-hmm. Oh, Adam doing Lead 'Em Up. I never wanted to get there. So I actually went over and above all the years to really give them everything I had, and was very, you know, respectful of that. 80% of my PTO during the years of managing both, 80% of my full-time PTO was to travel around the country for Lead 'Em Up. Truly managing both careers, you know? And so I look back, I don't think I would change anything. I wouldn't do it any sooner, even though I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't think our business was in the position it needed. Our family wasn't in the position. I think I honored my old organization in a very respectful way. We've got a great relationship still. They even kind of reached out a couple of times after I left to some little small consulting bits and stuff like that, because we did kind of leave on good terms and there was a partnership there. Lead 'Em Up's been growing at a good rate. So I feel really good about that. Honestly, I think, and isn't that what you want?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's incredible. I think one of the really helpful pieces that you just shared that hopefully our listeners took note of there, and for all of us at any point, is the fact that if you're pursuing something else, or you do have a vision or a dream to go towards something else, you have to honor where you're at right now. And you can't have more unless you can be trusted with what you already have. And I think if you start to maybe lose sight of that, or you can't be trusted in what you have currently because you're so far removed, or you're already in another place, that maybe it doesn't line up for you the way that you think, or maybe some opportunities don't come your way as you would hope because of that. And you just never know what might happen, but doing the right thing is always the right thing. And so I think, you know, that was a great point about leaving on good terms, but also still continuing to excel in the full-time career and doing your best for that company in that role, and not letting what you are working towards distract you or detract from your performance.
And for us, it was so critical. We are working in a leadership and character organization. That's mm-hmm. what we do, Kyle. Lead 'Em Up, leadership and character.
Right.
Part of that character and that integrity is doing the right thing. So, I mean, even in the transition for you, because you experienced it too. You know, you transition after 18 plus years or so of teaching full time. You made the transition at the beginning of this year, January 1st. And we talked through that with you too, Kyle, that when were we going to do it? When was that timing? You know, initially, I, you know, because January and February tends to be slower months in Lead 'Em Up that we started. I think I threw out to you, let's have you start in March. Let's have you start like in April to make that jump officially. And you came back and said, honestly, like, is there a way we can do it in December? Because you were looking out for them, wanting to honor them and do it the right way. You knew winter break, there's that clean break between semesters, was probably the easiest in school year transition for the school. And initially I was kind of like, no, man, like January and February is slow month. Like, stay at your school. Like, I don't know if we can afford you in January and February, like all those dynamics, right? Yeah. But you were right. Let's do right by them. And you made the transition in December.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what you were saying with the confidence in doing it and being able to mentally have a clean break, but also just always doing the right thing. And so obviously maybe the best time of year is always at the end of the school year for someone, but the other best time is that, as you mentioned, the semester break and not leaving them kind of high and dry during the middle of the year, during testing, all that. So yeah, I think for anyone, if that can be of help, of value, is making sure that you do right by who you're currently employed by and leaving on good terms, that people still think of you as someone of integrity. And that was important to me.
Yeah. I say one other thing that was really helpful. Part of that strategy plan also was, you know, if you have a side business that you have that's generating revenue, I mean, at some point I'm imagining you were able to live off your full-time revenue alone, right? Because before you had the side hustle, you only had your full-time revenue. So you were living off that. I think one of the other things, not only did I position ourselves as a family to be in a better situation and grow the business with additional offerings that could generate revenue, but also I think there was probably a 6-month span at the end of 2021 that I stopped taking money from, I stopped paying myself from Lead 'Em Up. And I just put all that money, I just kept it in the bank. So like 6 months, because I was like, I wanted to build up that runway also. So they call it bootstrapping, right? You basically were able to strap your own boots up and make yourself out. So there was a nice runway in Lead 'Em Up's account from a revenue standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I had built up a nice runway in my own personal accounts. That's part of the Dave Ramsey plan. 6 months of expenses built up in your account, right? After all the debt, we had lowered our monthly expenses. So you see where the confidence is, and we built the Lead 'Em Up business to have more revenue streams. So really 4 pillars now as I'm kind of fleshing it out. My own personal finances, debt-wise, removing it, building up the savings to create a runway, building up the savings in the business to create a runway there, and then also making sure the business was in a position to actually reach the financial goals that we could build.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the confidence comes. Good. Yeah, the confidence comes from that. And it, once again, it's worked out. Now, the growth, this is where it gets interesting. If anyone has watched, you know, we did sell a portion of Lead 'Em Up to investors. We made that announcement last year. Adam Harrington, great friend of ours, wanted to invest in Lead 'Em Up and contribute to our growth. And Mono Watsa and PGC Basketball, same deal, wanted to participate and had some financials that they wanted to, you know, invest with. And at first I said no, right? I'll give a little backstory on that. At first I said no because they had reached out unsolicited on their own individually. And I just said no. I said I didn't need any money because this was about 4 months before making the jump.
Yeah.
Literally, I said no. I didn't need the money because essentially, as I just laid out, was able to position myself to go full time. And we don't sell water bottles. So it's not like I need $100,000 for, you know, 20% stake so I can buy all these water bottles like a Shark Tank proposal. Right. Okay. Like, we don't need inventory. We're, you know, our business is online or people. Okay. Right. So I told them no, but then went back to them about 30 days later, realizing that that could help build the team and get other people there quicker. Right. And that's why. So if anyone sees like, oh, well, Adam made the jump because he sold part of the business for investment that helped help him financially make the jump. No, that wasn't for me. That was actually so when I made the jump, Jeff could join me at the same time.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, you could join us at the same time. That's what that was about, right? To help the growth and the support and continue building it. So if anyone's thinking, well, he made the jump because he sold part of his business, of course, that's how he got the money. No. No, that's how we kind of have sped up the growth a little bit in the building of it, but that's not how it worked for me.
But also at the same time, in order to get to that place, you were still growing the business at a decent rate and doing the right things as you laid out before. And so that process was honored in order to get to that point.
Well, yeah, because no one's investing in a business. They don't see the vision.
Exactly.
It doesn't have multiple streams of income, revenue options, right? Right. I mean, yes, we're in the business of impacting kids. Still business, though, right? It's a for-profit. It has bills to pay. We have bills to pay and families to feed and stuff like that. So that's why when I really look back, like there's nothing I would change from the transition. Now, there's plenty of things I would change about like how we've marketed or, you know, some of our email campaigns. I mean, there's little tweaks and stuff like that, like what's been successful, what's not been. That's a different conversation. But as it relates to actually making the jump, I feel like it's been such a blessing. And right now, once again, 14, 15 months in, it has been incredible. It is still surreal. We talk about that, you know, from time to time on our calls. You know, it's still surreal that this is what we get to do for a living. It is still surreal that we get to do it kind of just collectively with us, right? And not being, you know, confined into a corporate restriction or, you know, the confines of, you know, bureaucratic school systems and stuff like that, which can be challenging and all that and certainly real and everything. But man, it's been a great blessing. And I will say, man, there is truth to believing in yourself.
100%.
There is truth to making the jump. You know, there has been two things in the lead 'em up time where I'll speak just for myself for a moment, Kyle. There's been two times where I've had to believe in myself and I was nervous. I was unsure how it was going to play out. There was some fear here. The second one was the one we're talking about right now, just making that official jump. Could I do it? Could I make it work? Looking back, yes. I needed to go full time and it has been great. And there's so much opportunity out there and there's so many good things happening and we built out a really cool thing and there's tremendous momentum. Anyone that had told me over the years, you bet on yourself, Adam, you can do it. Believe in yourself. They were right. They were right. And I needed to believe it. I needed to take control of it. Once again, there is a practical side, which is what those advices don't necessarily address. Had to get the practical side in line, but they were right. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, when it's up to you, you find a way to elevate. It's really incredible. The other dynamic was about 3.5 years ago when we decided not to renew our agreement with Game On Nation and Steve Shenbaum and our content. So the first 3 years of Lead 'Em Up, we had a licensing agreement with our friends down at Florida, Game On Nation. Love them to death. Blair, Steve, still great friends with them. And we needed them in the beginning when we first launched Lead 'Em Up in 2015 because our content wasn't as rich, wasn't as fruitful. We needed more content. And they had this incredible curriculum that they essentially gave us access to in a licensing agreement. We had a really cool partnership. But we were changing our business model a little bit. We were needing to make some changes and it was changing how our original agreement was. And we had to kind of make a decision. That was another time that there was some fear there. There was some uncertainty where I began to think, do I have the capabilities? Do I have the capacity? Do I have just the ability in general to build the curriculum exclusively by ourselves? Without a partner, I mean, they probably had 50% of the content was their content.
Yeah, it was.
Could we build enough of a convicting, thought-provoking, impact-generating, transformational curriculum? Could we build it fully on our own without the support of their curriculum that was tested, tried, true, proven, dynamic, and all that. And I was nervous. I just was like unsure. I do remember Josh Funk, our friend from Rehab to Perform. He was like big time, just like, bro, you got this. I promise you, you got this. Like, I remember we were on a drive to Richmond. He was really in my ear, like, you got this, you got this. And made the decision to kind of go on our own officially. And over the next year, oh my gosh, like the curriculum and the content and the ideas, man, just began to fuel, just began to rise.
Yeah, it took a life of its own real quick.
It really did. It took a life of its own and just one thing after another and experimenting and testing this and discussing this. And before you know it, like ideas were generating. And our curriculum now, I believe, is in one of the best. It's in the best place it has ever been right now. And it is dynamic.
It's remarkable.
It's remarkable curriculum. And, you know, even Towson, I've shared this before. I mean, teach at the Corporate Leadership Institute at Towson, which is only 2 years old. 40% of our curriculum is taught in the Towson Institute. They've licensed it from us because they've looked at it and said, this was really good.
To all the parallels that you mentioned before. And again, going back to what you shared is the intentionality of creating something that could live in multiple parallels and drive income. And that's life-changing in all of those phases. And again, the confidence that comes from that, from the work that was put in prior to it. Absolutely.
So those statements seem, you got this, be confident, all that. I know a lot of this coach speak and such, but I mean, I'm living proof that like, you can do it. I'm living proof that like, those fears, those uncertainties, those insecurities, those anxieties are real. They are wrestled with. They are valid in all those different ways. But man, I can now say on two different occasions, I've made that step over that line. Right. And it truly has been better than I ever expected. And in both cases, after that step was made, it has become better on the other side than it was on the previous.
Yeah.
Living proof. And it wasn't easy. I'm not some, oh, well, that's you, Adam. No. I'm conservative risk taker. Nope. I've got a lot of responsibility, family and all that. No, I'm not in a position. I'm probably just like you with the responsibilities in hand and the uncertainties and anxieties, but was able to make it work.
Yeah. I think it's a great, testament to everything that was laid out in the episode by you. So brilliantly of how there was the challenges, the fears, the anxiety and the uncertainty, but how you're able to overcome those practical things that you shared. I think I hope our listeners really kind of took that to heart. And, you know, I think, you know, when they have listened to you for so long and they follow the trajectory of Lead 'Em Up and they see the people that are affiliated with Lead 'Em Up and our staff is that we're just ordinary people, you know, who want to impact lives, and we don't put ourselves up on a pedestal. And as you said, you don't put yourself up on a pedestal, but you're able to do it. And that's one of the things that I hope people get from this is that if we can do it and if Adam can do it, then you can too. And here's some helpful things that might allow you to do that.
Yeah. I always joke, like people like us are, and this is going to sound so narcissistic, but it's not. You got to hear me out on the full point. We're the real inspirations. And what I mean by that, sometimes these people you see on social media, it's like, they're like, it's like unrealistic.
It's fake.
It's like fake, right? Like, but like I'm sitting over here, like, listen, right here in Frederick County, Maryland, you know what I mean? Just like with the two girls running around 4 and 7, like this is real life. This is real life. This is genuine. This is just like, I don't know. Sometimes you see these inspirations online. They're like, look, they did it. I'm just like, nah, they're just, it doesn't even feel real. You know,
it doesn't come off as real.
No, it doesn't come off as real. Like, so I will say one other thing that helped me. I also stepped away from the Hardwood Hustle podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. That was big.
For anyone that's listened for a while, obviously having hosted that and owned that for like 5 or 6 years, transferring all the rights over to PGC Basketball, TJ and Sam Allen doing a great job with that. That was part of that decision during those 12, 18 months of strategy, where although the hardwood hustle was good for Lead 'Em Up, because it obviously you're in front of coaches, especially basketball coaches there. It was my third thing professionally on my plate at the time. I had my full time, I had Lead 'Em Up, and then I had Hardwood Hustle.
Yeah.
And although I love Hardwood Hustle, love everything about it and everyone involved in it, it was a slightly, it took my focus slightly off the ball a little bit. I'd have to, you know, I'd get on calls with the Hardwood Hustle team and the PGC team, and we'd be talking about, you know, different things, because PGC at that point kind of was owned it, because I had made a deal with them that they were going to own it after 3 years of our partnership, and we had an arrangement there. So at this point they were owning it. So I'd have calls with the PGC team to talk about, all right, what ads do we want to run? What do we want to do on the show? What new things are coming up with PGC that we want to talk about and things of that nature? Mm-hmm. Right? Because it ultimately was a PGC basketball platform at that point. Yeah. So it became a third priority, a third professional focus. Part of the reason I wanted to get out of that is simply because I just needed to, once again, streamline my focus. So that were for me, if you can picture it, was, all right, I had three focuses, full-time, Lead 'Em Up, Hardwood Hustle. I then got rid of the Hardwood Hustle. Now I've got two. Bam, now I can put a little bit more attention. Let's launch the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Let's keep pouring into that brand a little bit more. Let's take those 5, 7, 8 hours a week that I was given to Hardwood Hustle. Now I can put that to Lead 'Em Up. Now I've got, and man, when you can start eliminating focuses mentally, your mental energy, your clarity, your creativity, right, increases when the focuses are less. Yeah. So now I only had two things, but then that has started allowing Lead 'Em Up to continue to grow as more time was spent, more focus. And then it got to the point where Lead 'Em Up was the only thing once right. That full-time left. So there was that transition. That was an important one also, because that really allowed me to start mentally just reducing things off my plate so I could just focus on the main thing I needed to build up at that time, was Lead 'Em Up while still honoring my full-time. So that was big.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was good stuff, Adam. I appreciate the insight. And I know our listeners, there was a lot of value there that no matter what stage they're at in this process, they can take some of these helpful tips and kind of just insights you shared and really apply it to anything that may come their way in the future there. So great stuff, man.
And any additional questions, feel free to shoot me a message, right? Is there any specifics that I didn't answer that you're curious? Health insurance, who knows, right? All those different things. Feel free to let me know. But nonetheless, appreciate you all so much. And the reality is, this whole story that we just shared here and the opportunity that I just kind of went through is honestly not even doable if, like, we didn't have people out there that supported Lead 'Em Up, believed in what we did.
Absolutely.
That were loyal partners and many cases friends now. Man, y'all just don't realize, like, how deep the gratitude is. It truly is deep. Like, so thankful for the support of Lead 'Em Up to be able to allow us to be in a position to do what we do and impact the kids and young people the way we do. So appreciate you so much. Till next time, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. On behalf of the Lead 'Em Up team, have fun and lead 'em up.